This week is Parashat Va'eda. Parashat Va'eda. And what begins in Parashat Va'eda and then is going to be completed in Parashat Bo will be the Eser Makos, the ten plagues that are brought upon the Egyptians. Dam, Svardeya, Kinim, Orah, Devah, Shrim, Borah, Arbe, Choshech, Makas, Bechoros. That's what takes place in these two parashiyot. And one can make the mistake of thinking that, well, this is, you know, sort of random. God wants to hurt the Egyptians, cause them suffering, pain, torture, punishment, etc. So I think that we have to reach the point at which we understand there's no such thing in God's world. There's going to be rhyme, reason, and purpose to the ten plagues. The rhyme, reason, and purpose, in order that we should understand it, and I'm going to be using two of the greats of the 19th century, the Malbim. And on the other side, there is a piece from the Haggadah called Leil Shimurim, which is one of my favorite or my most favorite Haggadah, that was written by Rabbi Yechiel Michal Halevi Epstein, who wrote the Aruch HaShulchan, who was the father of the Torah Tamima. The Aruch HaShulchan was born in 1829 and died in 1908. The Malbim was born around 1804, 1805, and died in 1879. So we're talking about people that, in a sense, as the Malbim was ending his life, the peak of the Aruch HaShulchan's life. All right, but that's just by way of giving you some kind of a feeling what period in Jewish history we're talking about. In davening, we have, at the beginning of davening, there is Yigdal, number one, Yigdal. And Yigdal is something that we all know how to sing, Yigdal, different. In shuls, they sing Yigdal at different times. In my shul here, we, on Yom Tov night after davening, we sing Yigdal. Every Friday night after davening, we sing Adon Olam. Why that's the minig, I don't know. But that's the way it is. Yigdal. What is Yigdal? Yigdal is a poem. The fact is that this poem, Yigdal, is a poetic rendition of number two. Number two appears at the end of davening every day. The 13 articles of the faith, the 13 principles, the animamins. Yigdal had better have 13 sentences. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Wow, 13. There are 13 sentences in Yigdal. And each one of the 13 sentences in Yigdal expresses one of the articles of the faith. The purpose of this year is first and foremost that you should know the 13 articles of the faith. That's a terribly, terribly important thing. The Rambam, who originally composed the 13 articles of the faith, says that anybody who does not believe in any one of these 13 is not part of the Jewish people, is from a faith point of view not part of the Jewish people. That's very serious. That's very, very serious. What are the 13 articles of the faith? So, the 13 articles of the faith, let's put it this way. We will see that the first five deal with the existence of God. The next four deal with the idea of Torah. Torah min ha-shamayim, Torah from heaven. Torah mi-Sinai, Torah given at Sinai. The last four deal with the idea that there is divine providence. God is involved in this world and he knows exactly what's going on, and he rewards and he punishes. Now, I'm going to go through them quickly for the first time, and we're most probably going to go through them a number of times during the course of this year, because my goal is that by the end of this year, you should all be able to enunciate clearly, without hesitation, the 13 articles of the faith. How do you like that? If I will have accomplished that, this is my reward. All right. One, God is one. Two, God is absolute oneness, the unity of God. The unity of God. And that he is eternal. He is eternal. Number three, God is in no way physical. There are no physical attributes to God, even though we talk about the hand of God, the arm of God, the eyes of God. This is only in a manner of speaking. God is not physical. Number four, God was before everything and will be after everything. He always was. Number five, extremely important. To him alone do we pray. We don't pray to anybody else. We don't pray to Malachim. We don't pray to Tzaddikim. The only one, Lo Levado, to him alone do we pray. Again, the first five. God exists. He is one. He is not physical. He is eternal. To him alone do we pray. That wasn't too difficult. Not bad. Okay? The next four, that is number six. All the words of the prophets are true. Kol divrei ha-nevi'im, all the words of the prophets are true. Number seven. Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, whatever he prophesied and whatever he said is absolute truth, and he is the greatest of all prophets, greater than any who preceded him or followed him. Without that belief, Torah would crumble. We believe that Moshe is the greatest of all prophets, those who preceded and those who followed. So therefore, religions that came afterwards who said that their prophet or their whatever it is abrogates and removes the Torah of Moshe, this is, as far as we are concerned, this is absolute nonsense. Not only as far as we're concerned, it is absolute nonsense. All right. Number eight, we believe that the entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. 9. Good. Number 9, this Torah will never be changed, never be altered. It will never be expurgated. It will never be edited. The Torah, as we have it in our hand, that was given to us by Moshe, is eternal. Just as God is eternal, so Torah is eternal. There's a third dimension to eternity. Kutche Berichu, the Zohar says, Kutche Berichu, Yisrael Va'oraita. God, the Jewish people, and Torah, all one, all eternal. And our eternity flows from the fact that we are rooted and connected to Torah, that God gave us Torah. I mean, that's not a small thing to say that we seem to take our existence a little bit too much for granted. I think that we have to take a closer look at ourselves and see what an amazing people we are, regardless of all the problems we have. All right. So, Numbers 6, 7, 8, 9. God communicates to man through prophecy. The words of the prophets are true. Number 2. Moshe, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, is all truth, and he is the greatest of all prophets. The whole Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe. The last one in that section is that Torah will never ever be changed. No changes take place in Torah. The last four, 10, 11, 12, 13. Number 10 is God knows. Knows what we do, knows what we think. God knows everything about us. Number 11, God rewards those who do good and he punishes those who do evil. 12 and 13 are the ultimate rewards of God in history and beyond history. Number 12, of course, is the most famous of them all, Animamim Bemuna Shleima Beviat HaMashiach, the coming of Mashiach. That will ultimately be the reward within history in this world. And then, number 13, that there is the resurrection of the dead, Tchiyat HaMeitim, will come at a time that God will decide. These are the 13 articles of the faith. Now, those 13 animamins are also expressed in Yigdal in a... It's all a beautiful poem. Yigdal Elikim Chai V'Yishtabach, exalted be the living God. Nimtzava Einet El Mitziyuto, there is no moment in time for his existence. His existence spans all of time. He's one, Echad Ve'en Yachid Ki Yichudo. There's no other oneness like him. Ne'elam V'gam Ein Sof L'Achduso, it is completely concealed from us, but there is no oneness like him. Ein lo d'mut haguf ve'eino guf, he doesn't have the form of a body, nor is he physical. Lo naroch elav kedushato, there is nothing else that can be compared to his holiness. Kadmon l'chol davor asher nivro, he was before anything that was created in time. Rishon ve'ein reishit l'reishito, he is first and there is no oneness like him. He nevo adol olam chol otzar, he is the master of all people. We are the ones that teach the world about his greatness. Yes. I was afraid somebody would ask that. We don't know. We don't know who. We don't even know who wrote the Animamin. All that we know is one thing. The Rambam clearly expresses these 13 articles of the faith in his commentary on the Mishnah, on the first Mishnah in the last Perek of Masechet Sanhedrin, where it says that's the famous Mishnah of Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Abo, all of Israel have a share in the world to come. There the Rambam, neither in poetry nor in an animamin form, he describes what he says are the 13 articles of the faith, and at some later time somebody put it into an imamin form, at a later time somebody put it into a yigdal form. I'm sure that anybody who will be able to find out more information than that, I mean, I don't know, I should have checked in my article sitter this morning, but I didn't. You can most probably can get a legitimate doctorate if you can figure out who it was that wrote Yigdal. But I don't know. Okay. Then we have... God is the master of all. And other. In this number 5, as it's expressed in Yigdal, it means God is our master. Therefore, to whom do we pray? Who's the one that we turn to? We turn to him. He poured out his prophecy to his special people. There did not arise in Israel anyone like Moshe, the greatest of all prophets. Torat emet natan la'amokel, God gave a true Torah to his people. Al-yad nevion emen beito, through his prophet, the trusted one in his house. It will not change. Lo yachalif akevo, lo yamidato, he won't trade it in, he won't change it. Lo olamim lezulato, it always remains, eternally. And then we have, Tzofe v'yodea sitareinu, God can see and know the secrets that are within us. From the very beginning, He knows what's going to happen at the end. God gives and rewards a man of kindness as He did. You're rewarded. God punishes the evil according to their evil. Yishlach lekeitzayomin mishichenu, at the end He will send our Mashiach, lifdot mechakei keitz Yeshuato, to redeem those who look forward to the coming of the Mashiach. The Rambam says, and this is a terribly important halacha, that a person should look forward to the coming of the Mashiach every day. I think we might be best advised to start getting into the habit of saying Yigdal every morning, so that we look forward to the coming of the Mashiach. And if you really have time, you can even say the Animamin at the end. It's a pretty good idea. And every time I say this Shia, you understand, I decide that I'm going to do just that. And it lasts, you know, for a while, like all good resolutions, all good resolutions. God will bring the dead to life, berov chazdo, because of His great kindness. Baruch adei ad shem tilato, let Him be blessed forever. Okay. What I did over here is I really saved you a lot of work. When I told you the 13 articles of the faith, I really divided them into three sections, three categories. The first five are the ones that I said that spoke of the existence of God. There is a God, He's one. He's not physical, He's eternal. To Him alone do we pray. How do you like that? I think it took less than a minute to say that. And the next four was that God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe, and that Torah shall never undergo any kind of change. That's the second section. And those four in the second section, all of them talk about the idea that Torah comes from Sinai. It's not a man-made, book of legislation and laws. It is all divine. And then the last four, which is that God knows what we do and what we think, that He rewards and He punishes, that He will bring the Mashiach and He will bring the time of the resurrection of the dead. Those four talk about God's divine providence. He knows, He's involved, He's concerned, and that He rewards and punishes. What did I save you? I saved you the fact that some 200 years after the Rambam, one of the great Jewish philosophers of the Middle Ages was Rabbi Yosef Albo, who wrote a Sefer called Sefer Ho'ikrim, where he took the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam and he reduced them to three. And the three to which he reduced them, means it's getting easier for you to remember what they are. He reduced it to three. And the three that he expressed as being the pillars of the faith, Mitziyut Hashem, the existence of God, Torah min Hashamayim, Torah comes from heaven, and Hashgacha Prot is God's divine providence. And each one of these three includes four of the Rambam. Why did the Baal Sefer Ho'ikrim do this? So I'll tell you, because he brings proof. He says that that's exactly what our rabbis had in mind. And he says it was he knows that this is what they had in mind, because the men of the great assembly, they are the ones, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, after Jews returned from the Babylonian exile, they were the ones who composed davening. They composed the Shmoneh Esrei. And they also composed the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, at its very heart, has three major blessings that are called Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Malchiot are 10 psukim from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim that express the idea that God is king. Zichronot are 10 psukim from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim that talk about the idea that God remembers and he rewards and he punishes. God remembered Noah. God remembered Sarah. God remembered Anne. And in that bracha it says, "Oy, on this day will be decided, the fate of nations are going to be decided on this day. Ezel acherev ve'ezel arov. Where will there be sword? Where will there be war? Where will there be hunger? All of this is decided on that day because God's divine providence speaks to the whole world." The third of those blessings is Shofarot. And what does Shofarot begin with? A most beautiful, beautiful description of an early morning at Mount Sinai, as the divine presence begins to descend from the very heavens down to the top of the mountain, and there's the sound of the shofar. God is coming to give Torah to his people. So Rabbi Yosef Albo of the Baal Sefer Ikrim says, Malchios talks about Mitziyut Hashem, the existence of God. Zichronot talks about Hashgacha Protes, God's divine providence, reward and punishment. And the third bracha, Shofarot, is the great description of Torah Min HaShamayim. This, of course, took me over the years, and I'm only going to mention it, I'm not going to go into it. It took me over the years into a collecting threes. There are people who collect stamps. There are people who collect coins. And then there are people who collect threes. So now we have the three principles of the faith, according to Rabbi Yosef Albo. We have Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. There's one other fascinating place you may never have noticed. I'm just going to say it because I have to get down to Parshat Vayera, you understand? This is a Parshish here. Of all the Yamim Tovim, Shabbos is different. The Friday night Shmona Esrei of Shabbos, the Shabbos morning Shmon Esrei, and the Mincha Shmon Esrei are three different Shmona Esreis. I mean, the Hebrew there was not too good, you understand, but all right. The text is completely different. Friday night, we say, Ato Kidash that Yom HaShvi, you sanctified the seventh day, it's Rishon L'Maaseh Bereishis. We describe creation. We say that in Shmona Esrei. You come to Shabbos in the morning. Now remember, on any given day, or any given yanta for that matter, the morning Shmona Esrei is precisely the same as the Shmona Esrei in the evening. But not so by Shabbos. By Shabbos it says, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. I, Moshe, should be so happy with what was given to him. There he is up at the mountain, and he comes down, Shnei Luchot, he comes down with the Luchos b'yado. He's coming down from Sinai with Torah. A completely different Shmona Esrei. It's not talking about creation. It's talking about the experience of Maimon HaSinai. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelki yev enem and karezloi klil tefedez b'rosh and asatloi ba'omdo lefanecha, when he stood before you on Har Sinai, u'shnei luchot avodim, and two tablets of stone he took in his hand and he brought down. This is not a description of creation. This is a description of Sinai. We come to Mincha. Gosh, we talk about at Mincha about something that we have never experienced. Ata echod, v'shimcha echod, you are one, and your name is one. Umi ka'amcha Yisrael, who's like your people in Israel? Goy echod baritz, teferes gedula v'ateres Yeshua, yom menucha u'kedusha, day of rest and holy lamchasa, Avraham yagel. Avraham is going to be full of joy. Yitzchak is going to sing. Yaakov, Uvonav, Yaakov and his children are going to rest on that day. They'll do me a favor. When did that ever happen? You know what Ato Echad and Mincha is talking about? The days that will come when there will indeed finally be peace on earth. Peace on earth. It talks about a time that never happened yet. Meheda. The Torah in Shulchan Aruch says,
Why are there three different Shmoneses on Shabbos? He refers to them as Friday night talks about Shabbat Bereshit, first Sabbath, not the Shabbos on which you read Parshas Bereshis. The first Sabbath in history when God rested. The second Shmoneser is talking about Shabbat Sinai, because the Gemara says that everybody agrees that Torah was given on Shabbos. So Shabbos morning we talk about Shabbos Sinai. And then there's Yom Shekulo Menucha, the Shabbos La'osid Lavo, when history will become a period of Shabbat. Those are the three Shabbatot. I want to say that as part of this understanding of the three Shmonesreis, Friday night is a description of Metziot Hashem, the existence of God, the first five of the articles of the faith of the Rambam. Shabbos in the morning is a description of Sinai, the next four articles of the faith, Torah given at Sinai. Shabbos Mincha is divine providence, reward and punishment, the day that will come, La'osid Lavo, Yemot HaMashiach, and Tchiyat HaMeitim. It will have to be Tchiyat HaMeitim for Avraham Yogel, Yitzchak, Yeranein, Yaakov Uvonov, Yanuchu Po. So that not only Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot describe the three pillars of our faith, but Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos in the morning, and Shabbos Mincha, there it is, you have the 13 articles of the faith. There's another three. I once had an accounting of about 23 threes. If I'm going to tell you the 23 threes, we won't get out in time to get back for next week's shiur. But I want to give you only one more, and that's the purpose of the shiur. Boy, this is quite an introduction. Half the shiur has been introduction. Tetzach, Adash, Ba'achav. Next slide. We can leave the Malbim for the present. Oy, Elu Ezra Makan Shev Yakodi Baruch Hu Alam Yitzhi Bibitzayim V'Elu Heim Dam. You know, there we have our little pinky finger. That's the way we did it at home. I don't know how you do it. We tink the pinky finger into the wine and, you know, pour off a little wine. Most probably there are those, you know, who don't put pinky fingers in, they pour from the cup. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. And you shouldn't put your pinky finger in your mouth afterwards. Wipe it off with a napkin. Tam Svardeya Kinim Odov Deveshrin Borod Arbe Choshech Makas Vecharos Rebbe Yehuda Hoyonosein Behem Simonim Tetzach Hadash Bachav V'Yesa Makas. What's Rabbi Yehuda telling us? Rabbi Yehuda, what do you call it? Is this an acronym? What do they call them? An acronym? Yeah. All right. I mean, we're the ones who live, our whole life is acronyms, you understand? Without acronyms, we wouldn't be able to move. Everything is an acronym. Why can't I think of any right now? Nadbag? I like that word. Yeah, that's the silliest one of them all. Nadbag, Nachal, CIA, FBI, Shabak. It's Ahal. All right, come on, give us, in the business world, there must be a lot of, CNN, CNN, NDS, IDP, AB, what? Mom, okay. The whole world is, CNN? ENN? DNA. DNA. You're right, DNA. The whole world, everything is acronyms. What? Okay? So what was the great accomplishment, Rabbi Yehuda Hayan Notain Behem Simonem, Tetzach Adash Be'achav? What was the great accomplishment? So Rabbi Yehuda is the father of all acronyms. That's not good enough. Because the truth is that I could have divided they may not have sounded so good. The only reason why the Tzach HaDash B'Chav sounds so good to us is because we've been saying it for about 3,000 years. But I'm sure there's no question about it that give me a few minutes and I could easily make a different acronym over here. I'm not going to try now. You're going to start laughing at me. Okay. Then you'll go through the parasha and you're going to find a very, very fascinating pattern. The pattern that you're going to find in the parasha is every third Makkah came without any warning whatsoever. By each one of the Makkot, God would tell Moshe, go out, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go, and if not, I'm going to turn the Nile into blood. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go, and if not, there's going to be a plague of frogs. And the frogs are going to come into your kitchens and your bedrooms, wherever you may be. First two came with warning. It's all there in the Sedra. Kinim, lice, no warning. God simply tells Moshe, stretch out your arm, your staff, face, and it comes. Adash, Orov, wild beasts coming down from the forest, from the hills. Dalid is a dever, is a plague in all the cattle and all the livestock. Each one of them is warning in advance. There's warning in advance. And then shin, which is shchin, boils over one's body. And note that 3, 6, and 9 all are makot that affect the body. First was kinim. So kinim really are something from external that invades the body. Shchin already is something that is internal and comes from within the body. And then Beis is borrowed, down comes hail. Aleph is the arbe. There's warning in advance before borrowed. There's warning in advance before the locusts. I'm going to bring locusts and it's going to cover the sun. It will become dark in Mitzrayim. Those two come with warning. Next comes Choshech. Choshech was a physical kind of darkness that surrounded the individual. Without warning. The Bay stands obviously for Makas Bechoros, which had as its purpose to in fact free the Jewish people and take them out. Now, if we take a closer look at the Makkos, we're going to find some extremely, extremely strange things. And, you know, I'm sure that you saw these psukim and you didn't know what to do with yourself. What does it mean? Here, when it comes to Orov. Orov? Yes, Orov. The wild animals. Okay? I'm going to send wild animals. You know what it says by this fourth marker? I'm reading the pasuk. V'hifleiti b'yomahu et eretz Goshen. On that day, I'm going to distinguish the land of Goshen. Asher ami omid olea, where my people lives. Levilti ayot shamarov. There won't be any wild beasts there. What does that mean? Does that mean the Jews suffered from the previous three Makkos? But by Makkah number four, God says, oh, there's going to be a differentiation now. Oh, there won't be Arov where my people live. I mean, you can be left with a terrible, terrible impression that Dam, Tzadei, and Kinim, we suffered just like the Egyptians. When is there all of a sudden a difference between the Jewish people and the Egyptians? By number four. And the fact is that it's extreme. The next one is Dever, which is going to be a plague in the that's going to kill the wild stock. In this fifth one, it says V'hifla Hashem. God differentiated between the sheep of Israel, the cattle of Israel, and the cattle of Egypt. Jewish Bahamas didn't die in the plague. And it says, of all the strange things, Vayas Hashem et hadavar hazeh mimachros, God did this on the next day. Vayomot kol miknei Mitzrayim, all of the cattle of Egypt died. Umimiknei b'nei Yisrael, and from the cattle of the children of Israel, lo meit echad, there wasn't a single animal that died. Vayishlach paro sent to check this out. Vehinei and behold, lo meit mimiknei Yisrael ad echad, not a single head of Jewish cattle died. Vayichbad leif paro. What does it mean? Does it mean that in Orov and Deva, those are the only two times where there was a difference between the Jewish people and the Egyptians? Can't be. What's the pasuk mean? When we come to Borod and Arbe in Ba'achav, we find a very strange phenomenon. Where is this? We're up to Borod. Borod over here. The Borod. When God tells him, Hinini Mamti Ka'et Mocha, tomorrow I'm going to bring down a rain of hail. Very heavy. Never been hail like this in Egypt from the time it was established till now. Vata, now. This is such a strange pasuk. God tells the Egyptians, gather in, shlach ha'ez et miknecha, go send out quickly and gather in your cattle, that kol asher l'cho basoda, whatever you have in the field, all the men, the people who are working in the fields, and the animals, any one of them that's going to be out in the field when the borod comes down and won't be gathered indoors is going to die. So do it. What's happening over here? All of a sudden, God is becoming worried about the Egyptian cattle. You understand? I mean, I can't help it. You know, when I'm talking about Barad, so I think of Barak, who warned Arafat after the lynch in Ramallah that he's going to send planes to bomb, so that they should be able to get their people out of there. And then they found some empty buildings to bomb, and we were left with the impression that, boy, we're pounding the kishkes out of them. There were no kishkes there to be pounded. So over here, if the Rebbeinu was pulling shtick over here, I'm going to bring hail, get all your people and cattle out of the way. What happened all of a sudden? And then, by Arbe, that's at the beginning of Parshat Bo, the locusts, there's something that just didn't appear in any of the other makos that all of a sudden appears here. And it's difficult to know what it means. He says, tomorrow I'm going to bring Arbe, I'm going to bring locusts, bigvulecha, within your boundaries. What do you mean? And dam tzvardeya kinim orov deva shchin borod were outside of the boundaries of Egypt? I mean, wasn't all of this in Egypt? B'chol gvulecha, within your boundaries. What do you mean, within your boundaries? And then it says the same thing afterwards, when it indeed happened. Yevayet Moshe Mateo Mitzrayim, okay? There was a wind that all night that blew the Arbe, Vayal ha'Arbe, and the Arbe came al chol eretz Mitzrayim, over all of the land of Egypt. Vayonach b'chol gevul Mitzrayim, and it came to rest in the land of Egypt, within the boundaries of Egypt. And then it goes on to say, no tree or vegetation remained b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, the whole land of Egypt. What are you talking about? Time and time again. There's another pasuk. I find it out for the fourth time. Lo nishar, when God removes all of the locusts, it says, Lo nishar arbe echad b'chol gvul Mitzrayim, within the entire boundaries of Egypt, not a single locust remained. What am I supposed to make of this? Am I supposed to make of this that all of the other makos were not only over Egypt, but in all sorts of other countries? But it wasn't so. It was all Egypt. I mean, there are a lot of textual problems when you come to dealing with the makos. Of course,
we're going to resolve. We're going to resolve all of your textual problems so you can relax. You don't have to be tense anymore. After Borod and Arbe comes Choshech. And remember, it's number 9, so therefore it comes without warning in advance. Number 2, following in the footsteps of Kinim and Shchin, locusts and boils, this is something that affects the body. I think we asked a lot of questions. The fact is that there are many more questions that we can ask. The Leil Shimurim, Rab Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein, the Baal Orach HaShulchan, the Haggadah that I like more than any other Haggadah, says the following. The Makos were not simply brought for suffering's sake. It was not simply a matter of punishment. God doesn't do such things. All punishment has to be instructive. It has to educate. It has to have a clear message. It's not random. Oh, can you imagine how they're going to feel if all of their water is blood? Nah, that was not the point at all. What instruction? What process of education is taking place? So this you will notice as you listen to the reading of the Torah. Over you notice. We gave a shir a few years ago on all of those psukim. God says that I'm going to bring such and such matka leman teda so that you should know that I'm the Hashem. In order that you should know that I am God, there are about 7, 8, 9, 10 psukim like that. Then it says leman teda so that you should know ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz, that I am God in the midst of the land. Leman teda in order that you should know ki ein kamoni bechol haaretz, there is no God like me in this whole world. Leman, you should know, you have to be taught. So the Baal Orach HaShulchan says the following. He says, you know it already. Rabbi Yosef Albo said that there are 3 pillars of the faith. The existence of God, Torah min Hashamayim, and Schar V'Onesh, reward and punishment. What's happening over here is God wants to teach Paro and Mitzrayim 1. The Tzach, the purpose of the Tzach is going to be to prove that there is a God who created the whole world. And that God is the only one. He is eternal. He is not physical. The only one to turn to. And how does he show it to him? He shows it to him by the Tzach. In the Tzach, Dam and Svardeya, what happened was a dramatic change in nature. Who can make such changes that all water turns to blood? Who can change the nature of a frog that can't live outside of water? It's going to go into the ovens of Egypt, into the kilns of Egypt. This is such a dramatic change in nature. The only one who could ever conceivably do anything of the sort is the one who is nature, who created nature, the God of Bereshis, the God of creation. Now, the things like this, according to Halacha, people should learn something Anybody who's going to watch these films is going to be able to count up how many times Jonathan had to come in and get my car keys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just make sure that I'm on the outside. Ready to go. No, ready. Okay. You have to learn a lesson twice. Twice is enough time. And if you didn't learn twice, get a patch. Dam and Svardeya were to teach him in Egypt that there is a God. You didn't learn the lesson, you still don't want to let them go? Patch. A patch is something physical. Kinim. Oro Vendever comes to teach
a second principle. The order is slightly different over here. We'll see. He wants to teach them that there's reward and punishment. You have to know that there's a divine providence on this world. God is involved with every human being. And there are those whom he rewards and those whom he punishes. Now you can understand why by Orov, the wild animals, and by Dever, the plague in the livestock, God says, I will show you the difference on that day between my people and your people. Not a single one of the cattle of Israel will die and all of the cattle of Egypt. Not to tell us, it doesn't mean to say that all of the other plagues applied to Jews and Egyptians. Has to show them. But he says, I'm teaching you something. Watch. You know what you're going to see now? The bad are punished. The good are not. The good are rewarded. You're going to see the difference. You're going to see the wild animals will be walking down a street. On one side there are Egyptians and the other side there are Jews. There aren't going to be any wild animals there. You're going to see clearly before your very eyes punishment and reward. And then in Dever, Paro sends, he wants to make sure. You mean to tell me there's been such a terrible plague? I don't believe. No cattle belonging to Jews were died in this plague. It can't be. And you know what? It didn't happen. Why is it pointed out over here? Paro, I want you to see the difference. I punish and I reward. There's divine providence. He didn't learn the lesson. You know what he gets? A clap. The clap is already, this is more severe than Kinim. Kinim are from without, lice that comes from without. Here already there are boils that come from within the body. Now, what's going to be fascinating is Barod and Arbe. Very, very fascinating. Barod, we had asked the question that by Barod it seems that God tells Paro and Mitzrayim that, listen, there's going to be hail coming down. There's going to be hail to pay. So anybody who has his cattle or his servants out in the field, get them in. And we're wondering, all of a sudden, God has become compassionate and so concerned what's happening over here. The lesson that he wants to teach now is Torah min hashamayim. It doesn't mean that 613 mitzvahs had been given to the Egyptians, but instruction comes from heaven. When God speaks, men must listen. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, God is giving them instruction. He's telling them, take your cattle in and nothing will happen to them. You know what they're going to learn from this? Those that take their cattle indoors and listen to the word of God, nothing happens to their cattle. The ones who reject the word of God lose their cattle. So this is a real form of instruction, divine guidance coming from heaven. If you reject divine guidance, you do it at great, great personal risk. Maybe the cutest, I don't know why I use that word, but fascinating. There's a medrash, Arbe. What was the question that we asked about Arbe? Arbe, I think three times it said that the Arbe, the locusts, are going to come down within the boundaries of Egypt. What about Dan Svardea, Kingdom of Devish, Chin, Barad? Were not within the boundaries of Egypt? And then it says it came down the whole Eretz Mitzrayim, the whole land of Egypt. And in the whole land of Egypt there were Arbe. When the Arbe were taken out, there wasn't a single Arbe left in the land of Egypt within its boundaries. What's this boundaries Eretz Mitzrayim business? So the Medrash says that at the time, for many years, like it's nothing new. If you think it's new, struggles over borders. struggles over borders have been taking place since time immemorial. Didn't start here. What are you talking about? The Germans and the French fought for who knows how many wars, the 30 Years War, 100 Years War, 1,000 Years War, over what? Over the Rhine, Alsace, Lorraine, the Rhineland, Czechoslovakia, I don't think ever had borders, defensible borders. Russia and the Japanese, didn't they? Wasn't the Russo-Japanese War, wasn't that about borders? What do you mean? Hitler, Machemai's reasons sort of to go to war were borders, you know. What was it? Poland, the Polish corridor. It's all old stuff. Lithuania and Latvia and Ukraine and Uzbekistan and Muzbekistan and Hindbekistan. Yeah. We have, according to the former Ramatkal, we have another three stands over here. Quite a courageous thing he said yesterday at the Herzliya conference, that we remove Jews from Gaza and what is it has turned into Hamas land, Hezbollah land, and Al-Qaeda land. That's what he said yesterday. At the Herzliya conference, I don't understand. They didn't pelt him with rotten tomatoes. You understand? How does one dare to say the truth? I mean, that's unbelievable. Can't say the truth. Okay, all right. That was just an interlude. You understand? I don't want anybody to ever listen to this tape and think that there wasn't something timely and relevant. I have to finish this year. The third Ba'achav is there for coming to teach us. The Achav is coming to teach us Torah Min HaShamayim, which means these three, the Tzach, Adash, the Achav. The Tzach is telling us the existence of God. There's God, a creator. Atok Yidashtet Yom HaShvi, you're the one who sanctified Yom HaShvi. V'alichulu HaShamayim V'ha'oretz V'chol Tzvon. Malchius, God created the world and he's the king of the world. Adash. Adash comes to teach the idea Zichronos. It follows the order of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros. Zichronos is that God knows and God remembers, God rewards, God punishes. There is Din V'cheshbon. There is Skar V'onesh. There is Hashgacha Pratis. That's the second pillar of the faith. Malchias, Zichronos. The Tzach and Adash. And then Biachav is Shofarot. Shofarot. What is Shofarot? From heaven, God instructs. God teaches. God has not created a world in which he has left man to flounder, not knowing what truth is, what morality is, the difference between good and evil. All of this was implanted in man from his very creation. And any immoral step is a rejection of God's divine providence and that he is the creator of the world. God didn't leave man to figure everything out for himself. Man didn't have to figure out tefillin and sukkah, but he certainly had the intelligence with which to understand what's good and what's moral and what's right and what's wrong. This was created as part of man's nature. And if man loses it, he loses it because he is the one who is guilty of having destroyed that knowledge within himself. The last bet, the Tzach Adash, Dachav, this is already the base, really, in a sense, stands not only for Bechoros, but it stands for B'ni Bechori Yisrael. God is my firstborn. The Medrash says that the Tzach, Adash Ba'achav, was engraved on the staff of Adam HaRishon, the stick of Adam HaRishon. Moshe got it from there, somebody got it and brought it out, and that's the staff that he uses. the suffering and punishment that descends upon Egypt is not haphazard. It's not simply to hurt, to cause pain, or to torture. It's divine guidance. It's divine instruction. They have to learn that God exists. God has demands on this world. He teaches, and he also rewards and punishes.